and welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Kate Hallowell.
I'm Kaya McMullen, filling in for Liz Kelly.
Yes, miss you, Liz. And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer, and today we're going to check in with some pop stars. We're going to discuss Northwest Poop Party, and we're also going to talk about the iconic film Aquamarine.
We love mermaids here on Tea Time.
Cinematic classic. Follow us on Twitter at teatime_33 for, you know, the mermaid discourse of the day. And on Instagram at teatimepod. Amelia's doing great stuff with our Instagram lately. Before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey, I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it where my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
All right, we are here to check in with the pop girls. Things are a buzz in the pop music industry, as they always are, sort of in the summer.
Yes.
And of course, this happened last week, as it always does after we recorded. Lorde dropped her song.
She did.
Thank you, Lorde, for nothing.
Literally like 3 hours after we recorded.
It was absurd. She waited for us to record, put our mics down, dropped it. And it's been nice, though, because I think public perception of the song has changed in the past week. So now we can look back on it with some perspective.
Yeah.
Amelia, give me, you kind of had a take on the new Lorde song that aged extremely well over the past
Thanks.
Week.
Yeah, well, I was just like, I'm loving this like Minute Maid commercial realness going on. And I meant that as a compliment. Like, honestly, some of those songs in those like Minute Maid Tropicana commercials are like legitimately bangers. Mm-hmm. And that's just like kind of how I felt the song itself sounded like. And it also, it looked very like I'm drinking orange juice on the beach kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Like you were saying, you had this in the outline. Lorde is back with tampon commercial. And I thought she really had a tampon, like Tampax commercial. I was like, oh my God, what? So I Googled it and I couldn't find a thing. And I was like, wait, where is this tampon commercial? But you're like, no, read the whole thing.
It's metaphorical tampons.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and then Kaya linked like a Gillette ad that's just like identical.
It's true.
I think it's like really the music video too that does it. Like in the song by itself, like it's nice, you know, but it's like the music video is legit looks like a Venus razor commercial.
Yeah. It does. Yeah,
she's
it's like trying to sell you something. She's frolicking. It also gives off like the whole, and there was a whole discourse about this. I don't know if you guys saw like the YouTube thing where someone put up Jordan Sparks's song Red Sangria and she's like doing these weird dance moves and they're like 50% off Old Navy. And it looks kind of like an Old Navy commercial, but in a good way.
It does. Yes.
I don't hate it. Like it's fine.
Yeah,
it's a
fun.
Good song.
It's fine. There's been in the past week, some of the like youths on TikTok have started posting videos of them with like their old Lorde albums or like in their rooms with like Lorde posters being like trying to get into the new Lorde song and just like sort of like bobbing their head to Solar Power.
Okay.
I have to say I felt a little betrayed as a person who has cultivated my curly hair for the past year. Lorde came out here on the beach in probably 90% humidity with a blowout.
Ooh.
She lost the curls in quarantine. It's like sleek. There's some waves, but they're very clearly heat created waves. And I just felt a little betrayed by my curly haired brethren.
Sure.
You can't go to the beach and give me the dry bar blowout. Like those are two things that just don't go together.
It's true.
And
also,
I would expect Lorde to know that.
A like silk yellow set that I just imagine really shows like some pit stains.
Okay. Yes. And you know what's really
discourse.
And what's really funny about that too is like in the Jordan, not to bring up the Jordan Sparks.
No, please do.
Music video for Red Sangria again. You can, she is bopping around and she's, and I get it because I'm sweaty too. She lifts up her arms and there's like a ginormous pit stain. So at least she's giving us
relatable
honesty. Right.
It's a and Lorde is not. We love to see.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just not what we expected from Lorde. I think we're fine with it. It's catchy. And yeah, again, like I look forward to seeing it in commercials because that's where it belongs. Mm-hmm. All right, Kaya, next pop girls
we
piece
have
of news.
A very exciting collaboration. Willow Smith is collaborating with pop punk queen Avril Lavigne.
Incredible.
On her new Willow Smith's new pop punk album. We haven't heard anything yet, but we got some photos released from like they're doing a music video together. They're rocking colored plaid. They're rocking fishnet.
Wow.
It's like there's heavy black eyeliner going on. The hair, Avril Lavigne's hair is pinned straight, as it should be.
Always. Yep.
As nature intended.
As nature intended. And yeah, I don't know. I like this. I'm excited for it. I mean, I'm glad that Avril is kind of like having like a renaissance right now and like
totally
getting her due as this, mm-hmm, as like pop punk comes like back on trend.
Yeah, it's very weirdly in again. And I love that she's capitalizing on this. These pictures could have been like they were from far away. And like Avril specifically, it could have been from 12 years ago. Like she looks literally exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I've actually listened to, they have already released a single from this album where Travis Barker is on drums. And I listened to it and I liked it quite a bit. So I'm excited for this.
Yeah. I'm cool in on Willow Smith as like
Me too.
Pop rock girl
also
band.
It's cute because Jada Pinkett Smith used to be like in a punk band when she was young. So I like this. Carrying the mantle.
Love it. In
there
for
you
it.
Go. Nice.
All right. Next, switching a little bit in pop girl news. Jessie J has a long history of sort of like awkwardly straddling the line between celebrity and like reality TV celebrity in a way. She, you know, had a decent career for a while there in the aughts. And then she, you know, kind of went, you know, disappeared a little bit. She went and competed in China on a Chinese reality TV show. She won it, which was great. She has a great voice. Yeah. I'm happy for her, but I remember people were like, why is Jessie J competing on a reality TV show in China? Great question. No one ever really learned the answer. And then she went and sort of did like the global, like The Voice tour, where she was like a voice judge for all of the other voice shows because she wasn't famous enough to get on the US one. So the newest feather in her celebrity reality cap is that she's being approached for Eurovision. Apparently the UK did so incredibly badly in Eurovision that they're forced to approach an actual celebrity, quotes. I mean, Jessie J is a celebrity.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get her to represent the UK in Eurovision 2022. Like they're already in talks with her. First of all, didn't know this was allowed. Seems like we should be sending celebrities all the time, but it also feels like that goes against the spirit of Eurovision.
So I've never seen Eurovision. Like, is it just that you're supposed to send like relative unknowns?
I think so. Like very over the top, dramatic sort of campy acts from that sort of represent each country, right?
Yeah, and I think like one of the like the country that won this year, and I didn't watch it except for I saw it in the news. The country that won this year was, I think, Italy. And there was a mini controversy about like the guy who won snorting coke off the table. But he's like, I wasn't snorting coke. So I don't think he was snorting coke, but it is like that, like kind of crazy.
Yeah, they're very like flamboyant fun over the top, which Jessie J kind of fits. She's got like the opera voice with like the dramatic look. Like she's, you know, a diva, which is fine. We love a diva.
Sure.
But it just feels, I can't tell if this is more embarrassing for Jessie J or for the UK. For the UK to be like, Jessie J is the best we have. Or for Jessie J to be like, this is the best I can do with my career.
Well, I feel like Eurovision's like pretty, it's pretty high profile, right? Like people watch.
I think America is starting, I mean, which we shouldn't judge things by how popular they are in America. But I'm just saying, like, I think it is starting to catch Steam and other places. And like they had that Will Ferrell, Rachel McAdams, Eurovision movie. And I think they're doing like an American version on Peacock TV.
Yeah, they're going to try, I think. I'm sure it'll be awful.
I'm sure it will.
Ruin everything.
Yeah. And it's also not like these songs ever really cross over, I think, or at least not to the American charts. And so I think that it's embarrassing for both Jesse and Great Britain, I think.
I think that's the answer. It's an L on both ends.
Right. It's too bad.
But, you know, I mean, she is extremely talented. She has a great voice. She's had some hits. So I guess we're rooting for her and we'll see.
Sure. And apparently it's really hard to score as bad as like this guy. He scored like 0 points and like I think they've made it really hard to do that. So the song is like very bad. So
yeah, we need to do better, UK. Right. We can do better. All right, Kaya, finish us off in this category.
Yeah, you know, speaking of songs, it's now mid-June, so we got to ask, what is the song of the summer? Or what is the front-running song of the summer?
Wow. Great question. So I have two answers. My personal song of the summer, I would still say, is probably Olivia Rodrigo. Probably Good For You is the one that I think is just like, has everyone by the neck still. And I still really like. However, I have to tell you, I've been driving my dad's car. I don't have a car here. And he doesn't have an auxiliary cord in his car. So I'm forced to listen to like the actual local radio. Like top 40. And
well, that's good though. That's Dua really Lipa like boots on the ground.
Still has a chokehold on these radio stations and on the charts. That album came out March 2020.
Dude.
And it's still everywhere.
Levitating, the one that is not with DaBaby. I'm sorry, I don't like the DaBaby version. I just like the regular Levitating. It's good. It's really good.
I mean, that one's also like still all over TikTok too.
Right. I mean, the amount of hits that she packed into this album, the fact that it's still like top three every single week is just incredible to me.
It is.
So credit where credit is due. She had the Song of Summer 2020 and maybe also 2021. But yeah, I think it's still Olivia for me. although I do really like the Doja Cat SZA song.
That one is good.
Also all over TikTok. What about you guys?
Amelia, any submissions?
Well, so I'm reading this article you linked, and it's the a Billboard piece about it. And, you know, they mentioned this goddamn song called, and I hate it, yet I can't, I'm like, I will listen to it. It's called Astronaut in the Ocean by Mass Wolf. It's on TikTok. I know it's on TikTok.
It's all over TikTok.
And it's gone. It's moved from TikTok to Instagram. So I've seen fucking Jenny McCarthy do it for her son's like prom. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then, of course, I watched like The Voice this year with my parents. And he got invited to perform this song on the show. And the song is not, it's not a good song.
Like,
it's just not a good song, but it is catchy. And that's what you need nowadays.
It's
just frustrating.
No, it's actually funny because as I was reading through that article, I like clicked on that song because I was like, what is this song? And then I was like, oh no, I've actually heard this song 10 million times already.
Right.
And then
You've
I had it stuck
15
in my
seconds
head
of it,
like 24 hours after.
Right.
Exactly.
Endlessly.
It's so annoying. I hate it.
Yep. All right. Well, maybe we'll have like a late game song of the summer that'll come out end of this month, early July. That'll make
Kaya,
us more
do
excited.
You have any?
Oh,
song
yeah.
Of the
I
summer?
Mean, I was just going to agree with Kate. I think Olivia Rodrigo, Good For You, is still my front runner, but I'm open for other submissions.
That's a challenge to all you singers out there.
All you pop stars who are listening.
Give us a song.
Yes. I'm sure there are many. All right, let's move on to our little miscellaneous mashup category. This is Not Worth the Tea, plus This Week in Social Media, plus whatever the hell else we want to talk about. Starting off with, you know, last week we talked about Lil Uzi Vert and his forehead diamond. And so in similar diamond cosmetic news, Post Malone has some new teeth. He has some new veneers. And in those veneers, he has placed diamond vampire fangs. So these are not, this is not a grill. This is not braces. This is, these are veneers that are basically his teeth implanted in his head. Two of which are these diamond vampire fangs that are a combined 12 carats in weight. That is a choice that he made with his life. Honestly, maybe it, better or worse than like his face tattoos. Feels better. More practical.
Sure.
Can he eat with them? Like,
yeah,
how does that work?
How sharp are they is one question that I have.
And how long? Like, when he closes his mouth, do they, like, kind of poke out of his lips?
Right. Yeah. Unclear. Maybe they're just like a long canine and they're still
I would choose those over the implanted forehead diamond, I guess. So
sure. Sure.
That's something.
The bar is pretty low. But I agree. Okay, also in cursed news, although this is less cursed. So
I like this.
I like this too. So Salma Hayek doing press for The Hitman's Bodyguard's Wife.
Whatever that is.
Stupid movie title. She has been doing all this press about her pet owl. Curring? Caring?
Who
is the name of the owl. Gotta say, incredibly cute owl. I'm like, iffy on birds as pets. This owl is really fucking cute.
He's very cute. Owls are just cute birds.
They are good birds. They're at the top of like the bird rankings. Mm-hmm. But this pet owl who likes to sit on her head has been in all these headlines. So Page Six, here's the headline that Page Six went with. Salma Hayek meditates with her pet owl, quote, very, very often. Sure. Okay. I'm interested in that. I would love to read about Salma Hayek meditating with her pet owl. So I put that in the outline. Then Amelia shares with me, I think it was Amelia, was like, Kate, look at this one. And Just Jared really one-upped Page Six and they went with,
that's rare.
Salma Hayek's owl coughed a rat hairball on Harry Styles. Which like, listen, if you want me to click, it's going to be that one.
Obviously.
It's going to be. So she told a story on Ellen. About how Harry Styles, she was hanging out with Harry Styles, and she didn't name that it was Harry Styles. Eventually, she admitted it. And he was really excited about the owl. He wanted the owl to sit on his head because that's where it sits on Salma. And she goes, the minute he least expected it, he came on his head, but then he did the thing, and this thing came out. This ball of rat hair was on his head.
No. So nasty.
My other favorite thing about this is that throughout telling the story, she doesn't specify which he she's talking about. So it's like, is the he Harry Styles? Is the he the owl? It's like very unclear.
We don't know.
Whose head and whose rat hairball it is.
Well, I don't think Harry Styles is coughing up rat hairballs.
I mean, context, you gotta use the context clues, but it is very unclear. But yeah, apparently he was very chill about an owl coughing a rat hairball on his head, but that is something that happened.
I guess you kind of have to like expect that if you have an owl on your head. You can't be like upset at the owl.
Can't be like, damn, didn't see that coming. And I have to say, I would still probably let Salma Hayek's owl like hang out on my head. It is really cute.
Sure. But do we know who's, is it her rat? Or like what's going on here with
That's
the rat?
That's a great question.
Does she need it, rats?
I think so. Oh, she said that it doesn't have like a liquid diet because they catch their prey in the wild. So I think she does have to feed it. Dead animals. Okay. I imagine it's probably not her doing it.
She has
someone who does that for her. I would hope.
I would love to be the person hired to feed Salma Hayek's owl. That would be awesome.
Just feed it rats every day.
Take that job in a second.
Hell yeah.
Honestly,
oh
same.
Oh my God. Same. Well, apparently, did you see that people are saying that this might, they were hanging out maybe because Harry Styles might have like a cameo in the Eternals movie?
No, but I will look into that.
That's what people are saying, which I don't know if I believe, but
honestly, enough noted. Marvel movies.
All right, Amelia, hit us with the update.
Well, I'm sure for those of you who also listened to Jam Session, they, I think, went more in depth on this. But, you know, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez were spotted kissing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Kissing with their mouths at Nobu in Malibu, and just for the world to see, which I feel vindicated. I feel great about this. I'm just like, yeah, it is real. Let me believe this, people. Okay. It's been a long quarantine. Mm-hmm. I've needed things to sustain me, and this has really given me life, I think is the correct term. And I'm just really, I'm happy for them. They were there with her twins. One of them has like green hair, which I love. And they seem very friendly. Like he clearly is getting along with the twins, which I think is great. And I'm just like, good. Go and make out with each other. We don't have to wear masks anymore. So why not make out? Honestly, I hope more people do.
It's great. I agree. I agree. Just get out there.
They're an inspiration for us all.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
The thing that gives me pause is that, like, they're at Nobu Malibu, which is, like...
Sure.
You know, it's a hot spot.
It's like a hot spot, for sure.
So, you know, I do think it's real. I think it's real. But I also think that they are benefiting from this in some way. But
It's intentional. It's real, but these pictures are intentional.
But you know what? Thank you.
I know. Thank you, guys. Agreed.
Definitely agreed. And then on that note, there were photos in Page Six taken of Alex Rodriguez leaving Katie Holmes' apartment building. And people were like, oh, my God. Oh, they're together now. But it turns out he was just coming out of the building. Like, who knows if he doesn't. The church rep came out with a thing being like, they've never met. And it's like, well, yeah, Page Six or... You know, you kind of leapt to conclusions here.
Right. Literally, it was like A-Rod leaves Katie Holmes' apartment was like the headline. And then it was like he was seen leaving the building.
The building that
she lives in sometimes. No. I was like, Come on, guys.
That is bad journalism. That's bad journalism.
Yep.
Just like, wow, I can't believe you people do this.
I'm sure
A-Rod
will
live
do something messy soon. We don't need
he
to
will.
Make
we
stuff
don't
up.
Have to. Exactly.
That's true.
He will provide.
And I can't wait until that happens. And then on a brief note, you know, I'm trying to track a little bit Olympic stuff because I love the Olympics. And it turns out Cody Simpson, who I guess is like a singer. Is he maybe still kind of? Well,
kind of. I mean, most famous now for dating Miley Cyrus, right?
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Gigi Hadid's ex-boyfriend and Miley Cyrus's ex-boyfriend. You know, and I've made fun of him on this podcast before and I feel bad. I apologize, Cody. You
do
seem
you?
Like a nice person. I do. I'm also afraid of like getting canceled like Chrissy Teigen. So,
okay.
But also I will say that he had an Olympic dream. He was like, I want to compete on the Olympic stage for Australia for swimming, which I think is awesome. Like, good for you if you can do it. Mm-hmm. And he's like a swimmer at USC. So that's like, that's legit. That's a D1 school. But it turns out, you know, he tried, but he fell short in his first Olympic trials. And, you know, he tried the 100 fly and I guess the 100 freestyle and he didn't make it. So, you know what? That's okay. I mean, no one thought you were Michael Phelps. And honestly, who is other than Michael Phelps? So we can only hope that, you know, in another 4 years or maybe it'll be three because, you know, they had to move the Olympics.
Right.
So maybe, you know, it'll be three. You'll be 27, which I feel like is a little old for swimming. I mean, if I'm being honest, you know.
Yeah.
But I wish you all the luck in the world, Cody. And, you know, maybe you could go as an alternative. For,
yeah. Or maybe there's like some lesser swimming competitions he'd go for. Yeah. I don't know.
You guys are being so supportive. At the end of the day, like, he's been with Miley Cyrus and Gigi Hadid. Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be an Olympian. You're doing okay.
That's true. I do find it interesting, though. Like, I could not. Maybe he just has more confidence than I do because I don't know if I would put myself out there like that to be kind of not necessarily ridiculed, but to be like, well, he failed because these headlines are like, he failed.
I saw one that was like, he placed last.
Right. Yeah. Which is like, oh, okay. That's all
tough.
Right.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Alrighty, moving right along. I just want to premise this by saying Liz Kelly specifically requested that we talk about this. Mm-hmm. Northwest had a poop themed birthday party. And to be more specific, it was at a poop emoji themed birthday party. And cool. You know, that's about it. There was Kim went all out, of course. Got poop emoji themed onesies. And then there was also tote bags with the poop emoji on them. And I mean, she's 8. It makes sense.
Totally. Kids' birthday themes are so weird sometimes. I know we just talked about the weird, like, depressing cakes. But like, my cousins have had like rainbow themed birthday party and like you know what I mean, like I don't think actually it's that weird to plan a birthday party around an emoji. I just don't know that I would have chosen the poop emoji, but like these days I feel like that happens, you know.
Yeah, I feel like totally. If emojis had been around when I was a kid, I would have been like really into them.
Sure.
And then also in some more Kardashian news, Travis Scott and Kylie Jenner are, I think, back together. They attended a awards show of some sort together, and he called her "quote unquote" wifey.
Oh,
so yeah,
it's as official as it gets these days.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they've been back together like for a while, but this is just like the first time they've like walked a carpet together.
Mm. Sure.
Wow. So, best
look
of
at
luck
us
to
trying
them.
To like muster enthusiasm about this.
That's great.
I'm just like, I feel them. Like because of the finale of Keeping Up the Kardashians, which was, I think, last week. I don't even think we talked about it. I feel like I've just been inundated with like Kardashian stuff. So
sure.
I'm a little burned out right now.
Agreed.
I get
it. Well, we got a banger to finish off this segment.
Yeah. This is okay. A late edition.
Take it away.
Yes, I saw this the other day. And two days ago, June 15. This is from at Star Trekkery. Breaking news. At Kim Cattrall has been chosen to fly aboard at NASA's Artemis 1 mission, which flies around the moon later this year. Congrats, Kim. Wishing you good vibrations. Smiley face emoji. So it seems as if iconic actress, Sex and the City's very own Samantha. Mm-hmm. Why isn't she going to be on the reboot? Well, because she's going to space.
She's busy.
And she replied with like a little photo of herself in what appears to be astronaut gear. And she's given a little like, "Heyo, I'm going to space, bitches." So happy for her. It's kind of like, it's a random. I don't know how many people they talked to before settling on Kim Cattrall, you know. But I'm happy for her. Like, is good. You know, you don't need Sex and the City.
Is this the same space mission that Jeff Bezos is attending, or is this a separate one?
I think this is a different one. I feel I think Jeff is just doing his because he has a lot of money and is like, right. I don't fucking care. And this is like actually sanctioned by NASA, which is pretty cool. So.
Okay. I just love that she was like, I would literally rather launch myself into space than be on this reboot.
Than
walk into the same room as these three women. Like, I literally will launch myself through the stratosphere.
And
first.
She did it.
But me on the moon.
That is, wow. Talk about like commendable pettiness. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's
honestly,
incredible. Next level.
It's
literally.
Amazing. Good for you. She said that and she did it. So, mm-hmm. You know what? Believe in yourself and can't wait to see her go into space, you know?
Yeah, well, when we learn more about this, we'll have to check in with our anti-space exploration expert, Liz Kelly.
Right.
But we will save that for now. I can't wait for more updates on this. I really can't.
I really can't.
I know. It's so good. And I just...
Really good.
God, I wonder how they're going to write out Samantha now. Like, will they like make a joke
send her
of her
space.
Going to space? Yeah.
Please.
Like,
please. Like, she, you know,
I
had sex with every man on Earth, so she had to like go to space or something.
It, right there you go. Right honestly. There. Amazing.
Oh my God. I love it.
All right. Let's pivot to cringe mode, you guys. We wanted a sort of summary pick this mm-hmm. week. So mm-hmm. we went with one that's been on the list for a while. Weren't sure how it was going to go. This is Aquamarine, which came out 15 years ago.
Wow.
2006. Stars JoJo, Emma Roberts, Sarah Paxton, and Aquamarine, how to summarize, is about two preteen girls, the summer before eighth grade. They're best friends, and huge problem, JoJo, I didn't learn their names, so we're not going to use them.
No, definitely not.
JoJo is going to have to move like in 5 days before the start of eighth grade, and they make a wish to keep this from happening, and it turns out a mermaid appears out of mm-hmm. the ocean, and they befriend right. her, and they make a deal with her because she can grant wishes, as they do. And the mermaid has to prove that love is real to her family under the sea because they don't believe in love down there, it turns out. Very Rude. Bigoted community, mermaids. And basically, they go on this mission to make this blonde lifeguard fall in love with Aquamarine in a matter of days so that she can mm-hmm. grant their wish so that JoJo can stay. Turns out that doesn't happen. It takes longer than that to fall in love with even a beautiful blonde mermaid. But the girls find love together, the mm-hmm. platonic love of female friendship. And so mm-hmm. they grant her wish. JoJo gets to stay. Mermaid gets to hang out in the ocean. That's all
no,
I got.
No, but JoJo doesn't stay, though, because...
Oh, right.
JoJo has to, you know, she realizes that she's holding her mom back, who is a marine biologist. So they save their wish. To be determined.
I definitely watched this movie all the way to the end. Okay.
I've definitely watched this movie like 10 times when I was a child.
I saw it a bunch when I was little. I just clearly forgot the ending. Okay. Highlights. I want you guys to know that this movie is free on YouTube, mm-hmm. which is a highlight because a lot of times we have to like rent this stuff or find them on really sketchy sites. Free on YouTube. However, that says either really good things about this choice or really bad things about this choice because like the free slate of YouTube movies, they're really rough.
It's not good.
It's not really. I don't think it's good. However, if you do, you know, find it in your soul to want to watch Aquamarine, which actually was a pretty fun watch, I gotta say, pretty summery and fun.
Yeah,
you can do that for free on YouTube. So, congrats.
How about it?
Second highlight: this movie hinges on a lot of like teen magazine advice mm-hmm. culture. In the very first scene, they're sitting on the beach. They're like taking this quiz. They're talking about all these signs that this magazine is telling them that boys are interested in them or interested in girls. And mm-hmm. it just brought me back to like, we were all victims of that. We were all victims of like reading 17 magazine mm-hmm. and having it be like four ways to tell if a boy loves you. And it's like, he scratches his ear and like looks at you in class. And like, you would be analyzing these people's behaviors based on like these absurd things, you know, taking quizzes, being like, I don't even know. I mean, we all did this. And I just love how much it's represented in this movie.
I still have like vivid images in my head of like the sample, like IM conversations in 17 of like how to talk to your crush.
Yes.
And it's just like, no one talks like this.
No one does this. It was like never relatable or real. I also really loved like the most embarrassing stories that they used to do.
Where
like people would submit to like 17 or whatever. And you would just read them and they were totally made up. They were not real. But I'd be like, wow, my life is at least better than this girl.
That's true.
But yeah, just there's just a lot of that in this movie. They read it, you know, when they're trying to, you know, get aquamarine used to human mm-hmm. life or whatever. And I just loved how accurate that was to like 2006 specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There are some good like mermaid humor bits in this movie. my favorite one was that she's in the bathtub with her tail out because, I don't know, she gets the tail when her legs touch water. It's complicated mm-hmm. mythology. but she's it like zooms in and she's eating Ben and Jerry's fish food, like P-H-I-S-H, mm-hmm. Actual right. Ben and Jerry's flavor, which is delicious.
Good bit.
But I was like, oh, good bit, Aquamarine. So I appreciated that.
And then there's like the iconic line, which for I don't know why, but has like always stuck in my head, where she's like, I found two new men to love and their names are Ben and Jerry.
Good one.
Amen.
Good
one.
Amen. I really like all the little bits of like mermaid mythology though.
Yes. Sure. I know. They really sprinkle them in. It's fun.
Yeah, they have like, she has a whole backstory.
She Great. Does. I know. Yeah. I love that.
It's called world building.
Stop. Oh my God. It's true. Yeah. I also like that we get a taste of her bitchy dad who is just like a mm-hmm. dick. Mm-hmm. And then she's also kind of a bitch, which I kind of love.
She is.
You know? She's like out here tripping Emma Roberts. And I'm just like, God, she's a bitch. And she's an updated Ariel, I think. Cause like, you know, Ariel, too is like, Daddy, I want to leave. She doesn't have a British accent, but she's like, I want to leave the ocean. And this girl is like, yeah, I want to leave the ocean too. And then she like hangs up on her dad on her shell phone and stuff.
Rude.
And she's just like really, she's mean to these two girls who are trying to help her. And she like sabotages their own crush. And it's just like mm-hmm. kind of wild how they continue to help her, even though she's a bitch to them. But I'm just like, okay, go off.
She's a mermaid though. You know, they're starstruck.
It is kind of fun though. Like she really kind of takes the human world by the reins instead of being like, ooh, what's this? Like I'm scared. She is like, she is kind of a bitch to them the whole movie, which was refreshing.
She's mean
to the mean girl too. She's like really mean right back to Cecilia.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah. She like spits a soda on them too.
You know, and I do, now that you say that, I'm like appreciating that she's not just like, you know, grabbing a fork and like combing her hair. You know? Right. She's like, who cares? And she's being a giant bitch, and honestly go off.
Honestly,
respect it. Yeah, she has confidence that I do not have, so I love it. Go off.
Another highlight for me was I thought the relationship between JoJo and Emma Roberts was like actually really sweet. And I like that they like actually looked like believable 13-year-olds.
Yes,
because I feel like I don't know how old they were when they were in this movie, but they really did like look like they're about to enter eighth grade.
Totally.
They probably were, honestly.
It's like it's like with that era of actresses has just like disappeared. Like other than like Elsie Fisher in literal like eighth grade. That's like the last actress I can remember seeing where you actually cast like a preteen as
And you're like, you think of like Millie Bobby Brown. That. Right now, and it's like that's not what a 13-year-old
right.
Oh my God, yeah.
I have to say the Mean Girls and the love interest in this movie both look older.
Well, he said that he is about to like leave for college, so I guess they're 18, 18 in theory, but I mean, I guess he's probably like, he looks more like he's in his late 20s, if we're being real. But
that's true.
That's true. I agree, though. They're very cute together. They have just a cute little friendship.
I do like that they're nice to each other. And then they're, again, like, I'm sorry, I just can't get over the fact that they're being so nice to this mermaid who's being such a bitch to them. And they literally just let the mermaid have Raymond without any, hesitation. They're just like, here, have him.
Because they love each other more than they love Raymond.
Right. I mean, I guess, sure. And also it'd be like, he'd go to jail, so, you know.
That too. Yeah. That too. Underdeveloped subplot of this movie.
Right.
Yeah, it is like, they're not really touched upon a whole lot about how they're like pining after this guy who is like
way
18
too
while they're like 12.
Tough.
Yeah.
What's the final highlight?
I just love a good shopping scene.
Absolutely.
When I watched this movie when I was a kid and I saw them shopping, I was like, that is my dream, to go to a mall and just like, she has like $400 worth of babysitting money saved up. Like, let's
go.
I know. But now I'm watching this and I'm like, okay, you guys all got your hair done. And then you all got multiple outfits. Like, I don't think $400 is going to cover it. But
you're doing the math. Being like, how much did those hair streaks cost? All right. Low lights. You just cannot make a teen movie and name your love interest Raymond.
Sure.
That's just the least sexy name. Not that it has to be sexy because it's a teen movie, but like, name him Chris. Like, you know, there are so many other white boy names that are just like generic. And Raymond just did not do it for me. Also, he's played by Jake McDormand, who you're going to look him up and you're going to be like, yes, exactly. Because he has looked vaguely familiar to me in movies for the past 15 years since this movie came out. I have to look him up every single time I see him in something, scroll through every single thing he's been in all the way back to 2006 and be like, God damn it, he's fucking Aquamarine guy.
You're so right.
He was just in Happiest Season.
He was in Lady Bird.
He's like this little part in everything. And he has the most vaguely familiar face. And I'm just always like, God damn it. Aquamarine.
He always plays like the douchey boyfriend, I feel like. Yeah,
he has that kind of face.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, tough. But it's working for him. He's still getting work.
He has like a pretty successful acting career, I would say, out of like everybody who's in this movie. He's probably been the most successful.
He's doing okay.
So.
Good for him.
Yeah. And then... another low light, the prove that love is real in 3 days plot is just paper thin. Like you can insert a mermaid into your movie without having a mission like this. You know, like I know that it forces the plot forward, etc. But I feel like just keeping JoJo from moving, them discovering a mermaid and the mermaid discovering the human world, like that would have been enough. It almost feels like too much to have her like on this mission to find love. I don't know. I was like, this is suddenly a lot of explaining.
Yeah. Well, in like 3 days, like how did we come up with that number? You know, like give it like a week. And then also considering that she can't be like out at night, like that really cuts into your time.
Yeah.
So like really you only have like 12 hours of daylight every day to like accomplish
Kaya
mission.
Out here, you're out here crunching numbers on this movie.
But
it's well suspension to believe. It takes it a little too far. I know there's a mermaid, literal mermaid in this movie, but it takes it too far.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe a week. Give it a week.
Yeah.
Right. Agreed. Right. Yeah.
And also like why I feel like mermaids should know that like, I don't know. Like mermaids don't know that like friendship love exists. Like they really just don't believe
in
love.
Not have
apparently
any
not.
What about familial love?
Yeah,
I guess clearly not. I mean, goddamn, she is like not to repeat, but she's a giant bitch.
And maybe she was raised without any love.
Yeah, maybe life really sucks under the ocean.
Her dad seems like a dick too. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. And then just like absolutely terrible, terrible CGI at the end of this. I don't know what they were doing, but like when she was sitting on like the paddle board with Raymond at the end, it's like they were photoshopped into the ocean. And it's like, you guys clearly like filmed this at a beach location.
Right. You can't just put them in the ocean.
It's so bad.
Actually, so on a paddle board.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you could tell like they were it was filmed on a green screen because there's like that fuzzy kind of outline and it's just like, oh my God, like I can do better Photoshop than this and I can't do good Photoshop. So like, yikes.
Yeah, very tough.
Yikes, you know? And also the shell bit, I mean, as much as I want to love it, that was pretty bad. It was shaking and it was like, whoa, the shell is talking. It was just like, okay. And like the little, the earrings that talked to her were pretty, like that was embarrassing.
The starfish?
Too. They're so
aquamarine.
Oh my God. I was like, I turned this off. I can't listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then like some of JoJo's like monologues were like a little tough to get through. like her monologue on the beach, like talking to Aquamarine about love. I was like, okay, let's get on with this. Like, yeah, you know,
fast
we don't
forward.
Need to do this.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I think like just the and I'm, you know, I don't mean to like judge the person who wrote this because it's hard. I get it. But some of the little like just I don't know. And half of it is the actors too. But again, they're not given the best script. And it's just like, this is, I don't, okay, sure. And there were a lot of weird, like random little bits in this. Like when she's like really, like we get it that she's into salt because like salt water or whatever. But like she has like a giant ass Morton's salt.
Did Morton sponsor this? Yes or no?
Seriously. And she keeps.
Great question.
And it's, but she only does it like in one scene and she's like, I need some salt. And she literally like, Chuck, it's very strange. And I'm just like, oh, what did I was like, I didn't realize that I was watching this happen. And I was like, am I hallucinating? Like, what is going on? So I had to like rewind it. And I was like, oh, no, that is a giant Morton salt can thing. And she's eating it.
I did giggle at the scene where she like, Raymond like drinks the salt and then he like spits it back up. I thought that was
right.
That was some funny bit of physical comedy.
They do have a weird, wacky humor streak that pops up every now and then in this movie. Throws you for a loop. All right, let's talk what aged the best and the worst. Couple fashion notes, because again, this movie is from 2006. Mm-hmm. Aged the worst, Emma Roberts wears a pair of glasses in the first scene of this movie that are just 2006 lens crafters, like in one image. They are so thin. And I had these in seventh grade, essentially. Mm-hmm. My sister had these. They were so uncool. They were so bad. We all had them, and they've not aged well. And I'm hoping that the big glasses they're in now will not, you know, we won't be looking back at movies from 2021 and being like, oh, those are awful. We got to keep the thin glasses out. And then also in this scene, Emma Roberts is wearing a cardigan and jeans at the beach. You live at the beach.
Their beach attire in general is like pretty confusing.
Very confusing.
But I guess that's like the point. I don't know. Cause like the older mean girls like make fun of them. They're like, oh, wear less clothes.
I know.
Beach. But
I'm like, okay, she reads, whatever. She still is uncomfortable in that cardigan. Come on.
Put her in a sweatshirt. Yeah.
It's a summer day.
It's very much like Jennifer Garner at the beach. Remember with like Bradley Cooper? And she's wearing like the Gucci sneakers and like, I think she was wearing a cardigan and like a long like prairie skirt. And it's like, girl, what are you doing? I love you.
She
but
does
damn.
Have similar energy to Emma Roberts' character in this
movie.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then the fashion item that aged the best is that when Aquamarine comes on land, they got to get her clothes. Always like the first step in when you find a mermaid, you must clothe her.
Yep.
Right.
And they go into this gift shop. She finds this long sleeve t-shirt and they assume that she'll know how to wear it. I guess they don't have t-shirts under the sea. So she puts
they have
it on,
shell bras.
Right.
Love
that's
that.
True. Exclusively shell bras. She puts it on like Pinterest. She does the thing where you put the neckline under her arms, does the classic like wrap twist behind the neck halter dress that just ruled Pinterest in the mid-aughts. I mean, that shit was everywhere. You couldn't wear a regular t-shirt without altering it somehow. So that aged the best, in my opinion. Like, that shit invented Pinterest.
She also, like, was able to turn it into, like, a strapless look. Like, we just love the versatility.
I know. We really do.
Yes. And on that note, worst, I would say, why Sarah Paxton? Why hasn't she gotten her due? She seems like a good actress. She's funny. She's beautiful. Like, what happened to her? You know?
I agree. I had the same thought. I thought she was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had like a moment. She had, because then I think after this a little bit. She starred in like Last House on the Left, which is a terrifying movie. But then I looked at her IMDb and she's going to be in the Ana de Armas Marilyn Monroe movie.
Oh, okay.
So hopefully.
Comeback time.
She has a role. Also, she had a role in New Year's Eve, that movie. But I like literally. Oh.
Did we watch that for a crimson?
Yeah. But I like.
Wow, no memory.
Yeah, neither do I. Oh my God.
I mean, there was like 50 people in that movie. So,
right. Yeah. We can't be blamed. We can't.
What also aged the worst was JoJo's like very PC layers and her like very obvious like clip in blue extensions. I just remember going to a salon like when I first started getting my hair done. And be asking for PC layers, and it's just it's not a cute look.
It's when it's because they all have that flat iron straight, yeah. You know,
there's one scene where Emma Roberts is like side bangs are like so pushed far to the side, and there's just like that one hair that's like not connected, and just swept across her forehead.
It's the nightmare.
God, I hate that.
That was the worst.
And they're like a little bit greasy, tough, and then. Finally, also aged the worst. I don't know how out of this like main cast of the three of them, Emma Roberts is the most famous.
Wow.
She's actively bad in this movie. I would say the other people kind of just like hold it down, do what they can for the level of movie that we're talking about. And I know Emma Roberts was very young and she obviously has gotten better. But she was like, she was the bottom of the pack.
Yeah, I would say it was like Sarah Paxton, JoJo, Emma Roberts.
I agree.
What an injustice to Sarah Paxton. You know, like rude.
And she gets her due.
And speaking of injustice, let's talk MVPs. I love JoJo. I love JoJo much.
She should have won the Masked Singer.
I still am pissed about that. I'm literally so pissed.
As you should be.
I have been ready for the JoJo comeback. All we do is like we have nostalgia. We love our old stars. They're all coming back. And listen, JoJo is so likable. She's so charming. Greatest actress? No. But like, she's fine. She's fun in this movie. Again, monologue's a little tough. Not her fault.
She's great more of a voice. Singer.
Right.
Yeah.
She just has a great voice. She's so talented. And I just want her back. I want her to come back. So Masked Singer let me down. Who's next? Send her to Eurovision. I don't know. Give her something to do. That's how I feel. I know the U.S. is not in Eurovision. I don't want people to be tagging us on Twitter. I want JoJo booked and busy is the moral.
She should be like a voice judge or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, why can't she have Jessie J's job where she like goes to the voice spinoffs and judges? Right.
Yeah. I would love that, honestly.
We got to find something for her to do.
Yeah.
Other than the Masked Singer. All right. Well, back to Aquamarine. Other MVPs.
You know, I'm just going to give it to mermaids. Who they've milked the shit out of themselves for literal centuries.
Yeah.
Good on you. You guys have been popular for a long time. And there's never seems to be like a waning popularity of mermaids. So
Top three mythological creature.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Up there with like dragons and...
Fairies, I think.
Witches are good too, yeah.
Better than witches for sure. Well above like centaurs.
The hell?
Maybe
of course.
Neck and neck with like werewolves and vampires.
Okay.
I would say neck and neck with like vampires in terms of like prettiness. Sure. You know, it's like mermaids are beautiful and then so they're supposedly vampires.
See, that is interesting. I didn't even cross my mind when you mentioned like vampires and stuff because I feel like me personally, I'm like, those are like, that's dark. That's dark mythology.
So there's a difference.
You know? There's a difference between like light and dark. Light. You know
like
what I mean?
Fantasy creatures and then like paranormal. That's true.
Evil.
I get that.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Actually, you're right. Dragons should not be ranked on the same scale as werewolves and vampires.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's how we feel on tea time. All right. Weird side note.
And your MVP. I really enjoyed all the like fun little mermaid quirks. Like I thought the salt drinking was funny. I liked the little starfish. They were silly. What was some other ones?
Well, would you count like when she had the tail in the water and was like, whoa, water, and she's has a tail.
Yeah, okay,
now.
But so if you are so worried about your tail or your legs touching water, would you go on a pedal boat like at all?
Pedal boats are
so splashy.
That's
That you was are so like stressful.
Mistake.
And also like keep a better track of the like sun time.
Right.
I know. Right.
Such rookie mistakes.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think I would say, I guess, too, I would agree mermaids are the MVP. There should be more mermaid movies. How, did you guys ever watch H2O when you were kids?
No.
Oh, my God. It's good.
It's like, is that the one that's all over
Instagram.
Social media?
Yeah.
With them making fun
of
their accents?
Yeah. It's they're like, they're because they're Australian in it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a good mermaid. That's more mermaid content for you if you're interested.
Great. I will look it up. Thank you, Kaya. all right. Really quick lightning round. We only have two questions, but they're important. Would eighth grade Amelia, rather have the hair streaks, the starfish earrings, or the color changing nail polish? Anyone?
Hair streaks all the way.
I agree. The hair streaks had me in a chokehold. I was like, I want blue naturally occurring
in
my
hair. So
cute.
So cute.
Still feel that way to a certain extent.
They were like, I remember like in seventh or eighth grade, everybody got like little hair extensions. Mm-hmm. And I even got like little blue hair extensions because everyone else had them. And I was
Do
like,
you guys remember
so
the
cool.
feather ones?
I was just going
like,
to say.
The little feather? That was tough.
I never got the hair extensions, but I did get feathers in my hair at one point.
Wow, I love that.
I think they were blue feathers too.
Wow. Mm. Yeah, we all have regrets. Okay, what is the worst or best piece of advice you remember coming across in a teen magazine that has stayed with you for many years? I'll go first just because there's a very specific one. I remember reading in a teen magazine in middle school that I should be clenching my butt cheeks every time I walk, every Damn. Single step that I take, and that Ouch. Will give me like an amazing butt. And I remember like I tried it one time and was like, people don't walk this way. Like, right. This is not feasible. But I still think about it sometimes. I'm like, damn, what would have happened if I had like just made that my walk?
Oh my God.
Would I look incredible? Who knows? Who's to say?
Who's to say? Yeah, kind of along that line, I remember reading in like 17 magazine when I was like a kid. It was like, what genes work on your body type? And it was like, oh, if you like want to like make your butt look bigger, you should wear like high-waisted jeans. And I remember reading that like when low-rise jeans were like exclusively in, and I was like, no, never. I don't want to look like a dork. But I mean, they were right. So props to them.
Here we are. That take ahead aged of their extremely time. Well.
Yeah. Oh my God, for real.
Amelia, what about you?
It's been too long, honestly, since I've read a teen magazine. I feel so old. But I will say this, it's kind of wild how teen magazines have evolved in the past like 10 years, where it's like, I can't even imagine being a teen now, because it's like, you have to be woke at all times. Yeah. Like you can, there's no learning curve. And which I'm not saying that, like, I think it's great that, you know, kids these days are woke and that they're educated, but at the same time, it's like your brain is not fully developed, you know?
Yeah, there's so much too, you know?
So like, much.
No, it's not like everyone's reading the same seven. Like you can go on YouTube and find makeup tutorials or advice or like there's just so much content. It's like, it would be so overwhelming to be a youth.
Crazy.
I do kind of feel like YouTube and TikTok have like replaced teen magazines to an extent in terms of like, because I can't imagine like a kid right now picking up a magazine and like getting a tip, but like kids get like tips and learn trends from like TikTok all the time.
If TikTok is telling you to clench your butt cheeks every time you walk, don't listen to them. It's not feasible. All right, last category, Tea Time's unanswerable questions of the week. We have two because I didn't have any questions this week. I know everything. Kaya, go right ahead.
So it was announced yesterday that Victoria's Secret is replacing their angels. So no more angels. And instead, they're replacing them with like what they're calling like the VS Collective. And it's going to be Megan Rapinoe, Eileen Gu, who is a 17-year-old Chinese-American skier and soon-to-be Olympian, a 29-year-old biracial model named Paloma Elsesser, and Priyanka Chopra Jonas, who New York Times called her a tech investor, which I don't know how her PR team swung that one, but
but they did it, and that's all that matters.
So yeah, no more angels. They're going to try. This is like a whole part of a whole initiative where they're going to be trying to be more inclusive, and like they're going to start including more like maternity wear and like more active wear. Blah, blah, blah. But how do we feel?
I mean, I'm still kind of out on them in general.
Yeah.
But it's an improvement. And I actually was more out on it. And then I saw like all these conservative pundits like really offended by this.
Oh.
So you're like, back in.
So then I was like, oh, yeah, this is great. So, you know, it's better. I mean, it's better. Yeah. Size inclusivity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely an improvement. I just am like, am I going to stand? Like, am I going to go shopping at Victoria's Secret now? Like, right. No. But
It's hard because I think there have been a lot of companies like Parade, if you would like to sponsor us, have popped up recently, and they do the whole like carbon emissions stuff too. And it's just like, you know, it's, I feel like Victoria's Secret is always like just one idea behind, which
exactly.
It's they're playing catch. They're playing catch up.
Yeah, I just feel like it's just kind of like too little, too late. Like Aerie did this like three years ago where they were like,
totally,
we're going to stop using models and we're going to stop like photo retouching our like catalogs and we're going to just start being like more inclusive. So it's like, I don't know. Also, Victoria's Secret is like not very comfortable underwear and like also very overpriced.
That's true. Right.
Like, why are we still there? You know? Yeah.
Right. Right.
Let's move on. As a society, we can move on.
But, you know, good for Priyanka Chopra Jonas's PR person for getting for this gig.
Get that bag, you know?
Yep. All right, Amelia.
Okay. So Netflix's Twitter account, you know, once in a while they do some really great stuff. On June 15th, so a couple days ago, they asked, which celebrity tweet do you think about all the time? For me, it's this. And then they linked to this tweet from Britney Spears on February 10th, 2011. Does anyone think global warming is a good thing? Question mark. I love Lady Gaga. I think she's a really interesting artist, which just kind of sums up Britney Spears to me. I love Britney Spears. You know, she's just all over the place. And I have to stand. So I read this and I was thinking, wow, you know what? There are some really great celebrity tweets. Like anything Kanye West tweets out, like when he was like, I want to publicly apologize to Bruno Mars, when he called Corey Gamble Kalmye recently, that was iconic. And then I was also thinking, here are my answers to this question. When Martha Stewart asked, she was like, it was a picture of Jonathan the food god, Chabon, and she added the Daily Mail, and she's like, do you know this guy? He says he is well known, and which just, I love that. That's a great one. I love Cher's, sit on your own damn face, I'm busy. When someone was like, I want to, or she, they were like, Cher, sit on my face, and she replied, sit on your own damn face, I'm busy, which is like,
she has so many good ones.
Powerful queen.
Yeah, truly. And then,
she does. And also, who I would also argue that Rihanna has just so many good ones. I love, like, whatever you say, fishy poom poom, then don't come. And good luck booking that stage you speak of. I love Rihanna's comebacks. Mm-hmm. They're so good. So those are mine. And I was thinking, what are your guys' favorites?
This is a great question. The two that came to mind, one of them was when Dean Norris in 2018 just tweeted sex gifts because he meant to search it. He meant to put it in the search bar, but he tweeted it. And it's still up. It has 34,000 retweets. So that was tough. And then my other favorite one that we use all the time is Billy Ray Cyrus. Much to think about.
Yes.
With much to think about.
I mean, that's just, I use that so often. Mm-hmm. Kaya, what are yours?
So mine, and like, this is something that I legitimately do think about like every like few months.
Sure.
Is Constance Wu's like tweet thread after Fresh Off the Boat got renewed.
Oh my God, yeah.
And she was like pissed. Right? Oh. I was like, fucking hell. Someone like tweeted at her and they were like, oh, congratulations. So bad. And she's like, no, it's not good news.
I forgot about
so
that.
So bad. I forgot just, about like, that too.
I'm always thinking like, what was like the repercussions of that? Like, was it awkward for you to go to work the next day?
Had
you
to
would
be.
Think.
Because remember Gemma Chan and like all of her Crazy Rich Asian superstars then started. And then the thing came out about the rabbit in the penthouse during Hustlers. And it was like this whole.
Right. The rabbit that pooped everywhere.
Right.
Yep.
Wow. What a time. So many good tweets forget. Out there. All right. Well, we have certainly gone long enough today. Kaya, thank you so much for filling in and producing
this
fabulous podcast. Thank you guys so much for making it through the Aquamarine Mermaid discourse. And thanks for listening to another episode of Tea Time. I'm Kate Hallowell.
I'm Kaya McMullen.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.